भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, King Pitu's 100 Horse Sacrifices. And this is text number 26. Right?
Yeah.
Tad.
Abhiyagya.
Bhagavan. Pitu.
Pitu.
Para krita krama indraya
indraya
kupito
kupito
panam
panam
adadot jata
adadot jata
karmuka
karmuka
tad abhikhyaya bhagavan
tad abhikhyaya bhagavan
pitu pitu para krama
pitu pitu para krama
Indraya kupito bhanam
Indraya kupito bhanam
Adajo jato karmuka
Adajo jato karmuka
Tat avikhyaya bhagavan
Tat avikhyaya bhagavan
Pitu pitu parakrama
Pitu pitu parakrama
Indraya kupito bhanam
Indraya kupito bhanam
Adato jata karmaka
Adato jata karmaka
Tat abhikyata bhagavan
Tat abhikyaya bhagavan
Pitu pitu parakrama
Pitu pitu parakrama
Kaya kupito bhanam
Indraya kupito bhanam
Adato jata karmaka
Adato jata karmaka
That Abhigyaya
understanding
Bhagavan
the incarnation of Godhead
Pitu
King Pitu
Pitu Parakrama
celebrated as very powerful
Indraya
upon Indra
Kupita
being very angry
Panam,
an arrow.
Adata
took up.
Udata,
Udyata,
having taken up.
Karmaka,
bow. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj Pitu, who was celebrated as very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyas orders. Purport. It is the duty of the king not to tolerate the introduction of any irreligious system. Since King Pitu was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly his duty was to cut down all kinds of irreligious systems. Following in his footsteps, all heads of state should themselves be bona fide representatives of God and should cut down all irreligious systems. Unfortunately, they are cowards who declare a secular state. Such a mentality is a way of compromising religious and irreligious systems. But because of this, citizens are generally becoming uninterested in spiritual advancement. Thus, the situation deteriorates to such an extent that human society becomes hellish. Om Jnanate Varandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Mulitam Tena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kutuvachala Om Namah Te Guri Yatripaparaham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Vanchikapa Tubyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Paditanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram King Prithu is known as the incarnation of management. Krishna comes for various reasons that are needed in society. So before King Prithu manifested, there was another person who was, as Prabhupada mentions, he was society became hellish because Vena, the father of Prithu, was very demoniac. So demoniac that he told the Brahmanas that, why are you worshipping these gods? Don't you know I'm all the gods are manifest within me? Something like paraphrasing. So the Brahmanas didn't like that very much. So they, just by their words, the Brahmanas were so powerful, just by their words, the Vena was killed. So now, King Prithu is playing the true role of a leader, that whenever irreligion becomes prominent, then the leader, the real leader, will stop such a religion. So Srila Prabhupada, he also came to establish religious principles. This is the desire of Krishna. He comes himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya anirbhavati var abhyutanam adharmasya tadahanam sujam. Whenever there's a predominant rise of irreligion and a decline in religious practice at that time, I descend. So he also sends his devotees to establish religious principles. And Srila Prabhupada surprised himself with all the success that he had in coming to the West and seeing so many Westerners take up Krishna consciousness. He was thinking that when I go to America and I tell them about the four regular principles of religious life, they're going to tell me, Swamiji, go home. Go home. But he was so pleasantly surprised to find so many youth taking up Krishna consciousness. And in New York City at the time that Prabhupada went there, there was an unwritten rule: don't trust anyone over 30. Because that was the old generation. So Prabhupada shows up twice that age, and so many are dedicating their life to pleasing Srila Prabhupada. So this is the purity of a devotee. And it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, he only opened one temple, 26 Second Avenue. And while Prabhupada was there, many people came and took up Krishna consciousness. And at one point, there was one devotee, Michael Grant, who became Mukunda, and then Mukunda Maharaj. He was leaving New York to go to India. He was just going to stop off in San Francisco. And then from there, he was going to go to India. So Prabhupada just kind of nonchalantly mentioned, while you're in San Francisco, maybe you could start something. Just try to start some little center. It wasn't a plan. Prabhupada heard from him that he's going to go to India, and he's going to, on his way, he's going to be in San Francisco. But it's just offhand, if you maybe start something in San Francisco. So Mukunda took it to heart. So he had some friends there in San Francisco. He went there with his wife, and then he had Sam was there, and some other friends. Sam became Samasundar. Then Gurudas. So they started this center. A temple back then means a storefront. So they opened a storefront in San Francisco, and so many people were coming, taking prasadam, chanting Hare Krishna, and the movement started. The Hare Krishna religious principles started there in San Francisco. So they were so excited that there was so much interest in Krishna consciousness. They were making bhaktas even. So they were so excited that they wrote Prabhupada, we started the center here. We want you to come. So they sent him a ticket. And he flew to San Francisco. He'd never flown before. So he was looking down on the plane. He said, oh, the houses, they look like little teeny, little matchboxes. They'd never seen this before. So you can imagine Prabhupada's joy when he arrives at the airport, and before he even leaves the plane, he hears the loud chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 50 people were chanting Hare Krishna very loudly. That was back when we didn't have all these restrictions, so they can just go right up to the gate. So Prabhupada was amazed. He had never stepped foot in San Francisco, and there's already 50 people chanting Hare Krishna loudly in the airport to greet him. And what a, you can imagine Prabhupada's heart was just like, whew, felt so happy. And when he's coming off the plane, everybody's giving him gifts. Vedic standard, right? Sadhu comes, gifts are given. So then he started giving him gifts back. You'd get something and give something back. So Prabhupada was so happy with that. And from then on, wherever Prabhupada went, centers were already established. Yeah. And here in Australia, kind of interesting. He didn't send anybody to Australia. There were some devotees in Japan, and they heard that Australia, they're kind of getting into yoga and meditation. Maybe you would be, good there. Maybe could spread Krishna consciousness there. And one devotee, Bali Mardani, he said, "Yeah, all right." So he wrote Prabhupada and suggested it. Prabhupada and said, "Yes, go." So he was the first one to come to Australia. But what's interesting is Krishna was already here in Australia before he came. In the sound vibration. Because at that time, George Harrison had the song, My Sweet Lord. Or he had other songs also about Krishna. So it was, Hare Krishna was already known here. And the Hair musical, it was a very famous, back then it was a very famous musical called Hair, and everybody chanted Hare Krishna in that movie. So Krishna has already come by the influence of Prabhupada in the form of his holy name. So he was already known a little bit. So Bali Mardan comes, and then gradually others came. And what's really interesting is that there was one man from India who saw that the devotees there in Sydney, they were starting something. So he said, I'll send you deities just to really get things going. Oh, all right. And they thought, yeah, right, sure. But he did. He sent deities. But when he sent the deities, the devotees had already moved somewhere else. So that, and there was no other address. So the deities were sent back to India. Radha-Gopinath. So when Prabhupada came later with the same deities, those deities had already been to Australia before Prabhupada. They're just coming back. Because the man, he got the returned deities. And then he told Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, I sent these deities to Australia and they changed their address and there was nowhere else to go, so they sent the deities back. Prabhupada said, that's okay, I'll bring it with me. So that's how the deities came to Sydney. So from then on, wherever Prabhupada went, temples were already there. He went to Los Angeles, there was already a temple there. He'd go to the airport, devotees were already there, greeting him with the Hare Krishna, same thing, everywhere he went. Yeah. He sent devotees to Europe, he sent devotees all over, Japan, and then eventually he himself went back to India. But this is Shakti. This is Shakti. When one is empowered by Krishna, amazing things happen. Amazing things happen by the mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada was surprised that it was growing so fast. And Prabhupada, he had a desire. He had a goal. Anybody know what Prabhupada's goal was? One really prominent goal that Prabhupada had. 108 temples. That's what he wanted. So by the time he left this world, those 108 temples were established around the world. So this is the Shakti of a pure devotee. The purity is the force. And this is what Prabhupada came to teach us. We also want to become pure. Not an easy thing. The biggest challenge that any of us will face in life is to become pure. But Krishna is very pure himself. And by coming in contact with Krishna, we are purified. One of my favorite verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Pitam Asijavito, Mata Data Pitama, Vedyam Pavitam Omkaram, Brigsama Yajuvevich. That he says, I am the father, Pitam Asijavito. I'm the father. So the father, he gives us our necessities, what we need, maintain. So Krishna, he is the Supreme Father. He's giving us our necessities. There's a saying that God, he gives and he gives and he gives and he forgives. And we get and we get and we get and we forget. We forget where everything is coming from. But we shouldn't. We should be very aware that everything, so many nice things are coming from Krishna. Yeah, it's like so many fruits and vegetables. I visit Indonesia sometimes and there's a fruit there called a mangostein. Anyone ever had a mangostein?
Yes.
Man, that's a good fruit. There's so many fruits that Krishna makes, so many vegetables, so many. I was just speaking to one lady at the Woodford Festival. She was a musician there from America. She was doing some performance, and she was a vegan. And she was eating meat, and she was thinking, she started thinking, why am I eating meat? You know, so many, God has given us so many vegetables, He's given us so many fruits, He's given us so many, why do we have to kill these animals? So she got a Bhagavad Gita. Happily got a Bhagavad Gita. So yeah, Krishna's given us so much. Yeah. Why do we have to kill innocent creatures? Yeah. And Prabhupada, he would hammer on this. In some religions, they eat meat like anything. And Prabhupada, when he would speak to Christians, that was the main thing he would harbor on. Why are you killing? The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Why are you killing? And they couldn't answer. Even in the Genesis, it says that your meats will be the fruits that fall from the tree. That will be your meat. That's in the Bible. So many religions are not following, you know, what is stated in their scripture. And even many people that are following the Vedas, they're also not following properly. There's so many translations of the Bhagavad Gita. And people are given their own interpretation according to their mentality. But Prabhupada gave Bhagavad Gita as it is, because Prabhupada, he had love for Krishna, so he knew the message of Krishna. Just like if you have a relationship with someone, a loving relationship with someone, and that person gives a message to you to give to somebody else, you're not going to change it, because there's love. So Prabhupada had this loving relationship with Krishna, so he's not going to change it just to suit himself. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita as it is. So we're very fortunate to have this knowledge that's propounding religious principles. So Pitam Asya Jagato Mata, Krishna is also the mother. Just like most of us in our growing up, our affection is mostly for the mother, because we're being fed by the mother, and the father is working mostly, and so we're raised by our mother, so there's affection for the mother. And Prabhupada was speaking about this he wrote in one purport. He says Krishna is millions of times more affectionate than one's mother. The mother is always very affectionate, but Krishna is millions of times more. Can you imagine that? You know, we all have affection for our mother. Millions of times more affectionate than our mother. So this is how affectionate Krishna is. Very, very affectionate. He has so much love for us. We just can't imagine. But the problem is we turned away from Krishna. And now we're trying to reestablish that relationship, which is, it's not easy. In a relationship, what is the most important aspect or the character of a relationship is trust. And therefore a lot of divorces take place because the man or the woman cheated. And therefore marriage is finished. So, we were with Krishna, but we turned away from Krishna. We wanted to have that position. It's like Shakespeare, in one of his stanzas, I'm paraphrasing, he says, The whole world is a stage. And everybody is thinking I'm the main actor on the stage. So everybody's trying to be the center. We were with Krishna, Krishna's the center. We wanted to be the center. But there's only one center. There can't be two centers. So everybody is here basically trying to be the center. So now we're trying to mend that relationship. I'll give you an example. Imagine there's two friends, very good friends. In America, we when we were kids, you have a good relationship with another friend, and they're called blood brothers. You have that in Germany too?
Yes.
Blood. In Australia also, they have that? Of course, we don't have any Aussies here. But is it? You're from Australia. Do they have blood brothers here? Something like that, okay. So what it is you prick your thumb and the other one pricks his thumb and you put your thumbs together and then you're blood brothers, you know. You're kind of grotesque, you know, a little Rakshasa type, yeah, relationship. Yeah. So imagine these friends are growing up and they have a nice friendship, you know, very tight. And one of them becomes very wealthy later on in their life. And the other one's not so wealthy. And the one that's not so wealthy, he steals money from his friend. So when that happens, let's say a large amount of money, then the trust is lost. Right? And you steal from them. And the trust is lost. So to mend that relationship again is very difficult because the trust is lost. So similarly, we were with Krishna, we wanted to be the center, now we're here trying to be the center, taking Krishna's property. Everything belongs to Krishna, and we're taking things for our own sense gratification, for our own enjoyment, stealing from our friend, Krishna. So now to mend that relationship, very difficult. Very difficult. But possible. And therefore, Krishna goes on to say, Vedyam Pavitram Omkar, that I'm the goal of the Vedas. And I am that which purifies. I am that which purifies. So mending that relationship means becoming purified of our tendency to enjoy separate from Krishna, to tendency to enjoy that which doesn't belong to us. So this is Krishna. However we come in contact with Krishna, we get purified. Here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like throughout the world, people, they're hearing news. You know, the morning news. Right? And there's the evening news. It's always bad news. Right? It's all bad news. No good news. So every morning we get the good news, Srimad Bhagavatam. In the evening, good news, more good news, Bhagavad Gita. So this is a good news society. So by coming in contact with Krishna, we get purified. And I have some really good news for you. You want to hear some really good news? There's an amazing pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of a great devotee, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now he was the most famous Mayavadi in India. And he was the king's pundit. Very, very intelligent. Knew the Vedas in and out. But he came in contact with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and got purified. He became a great devotee. Such a great devotee that Lord Chaitanya revealed to him the Satguj form of the Lord. So he became a great, great devotee. But he had one son-in-law who was a rascal. He was a big rascal. So Sarva Bhattacharya had invited Lord Chaitanya to take prasad at his home. They had cooked, and they had cooked a lot, because they heard Lord Chaitanya, he's got a pretty good appetite. So they cooked a lot. But Sarva Bhattacharya knew the Samoga, he's a big rascal. So he was guarding the door with a stick, just in case he came and criticized Lord Chaitanya. So he must have had a really bad reputation of criticizing. Yeah. He was even ready to criticize Lord Chaitanya. So he was guarding the door. Can you imagine? He's guarding the door from his son-in-law. Generally, you know, son-in-laws have a nice relationship, right? Affects the relationship. You know, that he's got his daughter and the son-in-law and his son. It wasn't a nice relationship. He's got a stick at the door, ready to beat him. So his wife was serving up prasadam to Lord Chaitanya. And he could see that she needed some help. So he became a little inattentive in his guarding. So he started serving out also to Lord Chaitanya. So in his inattentiveness, Amoga peeks his head in the door and sees all the prasadam being served to Lord Chaitanya. He said, "What is this? What kind of a sannyasi is this? This is enough for 10 men. What is this?" So as soon as Sarvam Bhattacharya heard that, his eyes just darted at him with fire in his eyes. If fire could have come from his eyes, they would have burned him. He was so angry, and Amoga saw that, I'm in trouble. He actually took off running. And although Sarvam Bhattacharya was elderly, he started chasing him with a stick, you know, beat him. So then he came back, couldn't catch him. And the wife of Charya, she's just thinking, "Oh, may my daughter become a widow." They wanted him to die. Yeah, it's a son-in-law. Yeah. But they wanted him to die because he had offended the Supreme Lord who had come to their home to honor prasadam. They were so upset. And Lord Chaitanya, so don't worry, it's not a big deal. They're right, I shouldn't be eating so much. It's not a big deal, don't take it so seriously. But they were devastated, they were so upset. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he went back to his residence. And the next day, Gopinath, brother-in-law of Sarva Bhattacharya, he went to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya asked, "How is Sarva Bhattacharya doing with his wife?" And he said, "Oh, they're fasting." Mm-hmm. "Why are they fasting? It's not a big deal. It's just, you know, it's just a little extra prasadam there. It's just not a big deal. It's shouldn't be eating so much." And then he asked, "And how is Amoga?" "Amoga? He's dying of cholera. He's dying of cholera." So immediately Lord Chaitanya gets up and he goes to where Amoga is dying on his bed. And he says to Amoga, "The heart of a Brahmana," see, he was a Brahmana, He says the heart of a Brahmin is naturally very pure, and therefore a suitable place for Krishna to sit. Why have you allowed this chandala of envy to sit in your heart, making it an unsuitable place for Krishna to sit? Then Lord Chaitanya put his hand, Lord Chaitanya had a big hand. It's described that his hand was so big that he can serve out three people with one hand, just grabbing them. He had a big hand. So he put his hand on his chest. And he said, however, because you are the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I'm taking all contamination out of your heart. And naturally, when contamination is removed and the heart is pure, one naturally chants, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So then Lord Chaitanya lifted his hand from his chest and a moment jumps up out of his deathbed and he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Tears are flowing from his eyes, his hairs are standing on end. He's just in complete ecstasy. He pays obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and begs him for forgiveness for offending him. And then he starts slapping his face as hard as he could, not this soft. Just slapping as hard as he could. He's slapping so hard that his face becomes swollen. And then Gopinath Acharya, he sees him doing like this and he kind of holds him down, puts his arms down. So he was so much distraught, he was so disturbed that he had offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he became a great devotee. He became a great devotee. Now one may think, well, how is that possible? He was offensive. He was envious of Lord Chaitanya. It was possible because he had a relationship. And it wasn't even a close relationship. It wasn't his son. It was his son-in-law. So it wasn't a real close relationship. And he was even envious. He was a rascal. But he became a great devotee because of that relationship with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So the good news is that we have a relationship with one of the greatest devotees that has ever stepped on this planet, Srila Prabhupada. Because he did what was predicted. Priti Viti Achiyatan Nagavari Ram Sarva Krakachoy Hori Morna. It was predicted that the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Hare Krishna will be spread throughout the world, every town and village throughout the world. Prabhupada did. So he's either our father or our grandfather. Now grandfathers, I mean, and this is a spiritual relationship, it's not even a bodily, biological relationship, this is a spiritual relationship that we have with Prabhupada. He's our grandfather, or our father. So that's like, that's really good. So that's our hope, that's the good news. That we have a relationship with someone that is extremely dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we follow the instructions that are given to us by Srila Prabhupada, how much more that solidifies our good fortune. We're already fortunate because we're related with Prabhupada. How much more fortunate we become if we can take the instructions of Prabhupada to heart. Now I forgot what time class goes to. Okay. Any question or comment? Yes.
You said that Prabhupada wanted to establish 108
Why that number? Because 108 is a very auspicious number. There's 108 Upanishads, there's 108 gopis. Very intimate gopis. Of course, to have 1,108 is better, but Prabhupada chose that that number. And it was a kind of a feasible, a possible number, because there's a good number of big cities about that size. You know, big cities that can have a temple. Yes?
I'm a little confused. You said that before Srila Prabhupada went to San Francisco and established the temple, how did Srila Prabhupada establish the deities, or were the deities already installed?
In San Francisco?
Yes.
No, that was actually what's interesting there, another amazing pastime. I mean, Prabhupada's just right there with Krishna. So what happened was, there was one devotee in San Francisco that was in a store, and what we call, it's called a five-finger discount. You ever heard of that before? Where she saw some form. It was a little form of Jagannath. And she didn't have any money, so she just picked it up and put it in her purse and walked out. It's called a five-finger discount. She didn't pay for it. So somehow she thought it was connected. It must have been an Indian store or something. So she took it back to the temple, and she took it to Prabhupada's room, and she put it on Prabhupada's desk, and Prabhupada paid obeisances to this little form. Now, she had never, no one had ever seen this form of Jagannath before. So Prabhupada paid obeisances to it. She's like, wow, what is this? And Prabhupada asked her, were there any other forms similar? And so she went back. She didn't know. She went back and she saw there was two others similar. So she did another five-finger discount. She got the other two and brought them back. And Prabhupada could understand Jagannath. This is Lord of the Universe. He has come. And therefore we have to have a temple here of Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra. And Shyama Sundar, who was the husband of Malati, he knew how to carve. And he carved these magnificent, they're still there. He was really good at carving. So he carved these beautiful Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra deities. So those are the deities that were worshipped in San Francisco. Amazing, another amazing pastime.
What about the Lord Krishna deities?
Lord Jagannath is Krishna. But now, are you talking about the Lord Gopinath? The Gopinath? Oh no, that was in Sydney. You're mixing up, yeah. That was Sydney. That was Sydney where those deities appeared.
My confusion was, because Prabhupada has been seen some wonderful deity installments. But as you said, the temples were established before Srila Prabhupada even went there.
Well, temples weren't really established. There was devotees. Some places, devotees were already there. And there was some, like in New York, like in San Francisco. It wasn't really a temple. There was no deities. There was no worship going on. But they were chanting Hare Krishna, which is a type of, that's also worship. But there was no formal deity worship. In many places where Prabhupada went, there was no deity worship there at the point that he arrived. Later they established the deity worship, right? Gradually things started falling into place properly. Yes, sir.
Lord Krishna says, I am now in temple, ये जना पुल पास के कृष्ण में जो का नाम योग के मुंह में सो वी नो इन द वेन दे से योग के मुंह आई गिव यू व्हाट यू नीड एंड आई डिजायर व्हाट यू फॉर सो व्हाई वी आर डाइग्रेसिंग इफ यू नो भगवत गीता देन व्हाई वी ऑल आर डाइग्रेसिंग फ्रॉम दैट फार
देन व्हाई एम आई
व्हाई वी आर गोइंग अवे
ओह बिकॉज़ द mind is very fickle. Even many devotees came and took initiation, even took sannyas, but one has to be very careful to the mind. Prabhupada gave the example that the mind is like a child. It's like a one-year-old child. The one-year-old child, the mothers all know, has to be constantly watched, because whatever they see, first they want to put it in their mouth, because that's the only sense that's working, right? And they just get in, you never know what they're going to do. So they have to be watched constantly.
Overview.
Yeah. So the Prabhupada said the mind is like that. The mind is like a child. It's always wanting to go there. Just go in there, go in there, go in there. So you have to, Krishna says, yato yato nishchalati mudash chanchanam astaram datastam yamyakat apanyeva samyat. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. And Krishna knows it's not easy. He even says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's undoubtedly very difficult. Asangasyam mahabhava manodrinagramchala abhyasenyata kontraya vairagyena tigriyate. It's undoubtedly very difficult to control the mind. But it's possible. By constant practice and detachment. Practice and detachment. So we have to keep practicing. Bring them back under control. And I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. When we're chanting japa, we know it's difficult to chant. You know, as soon as we pick up our beads, the mind's already gone off. Yeah? So to chant the Hare Krishna mantra attentively, it's one of the offenses. But it's difficult. We all know every day we're trying to chant that, you know, things are coming. So Bhakti Tirtha Swami had what I found is the best practice for bringing the mind back. I mean, there's so many japa reform meetings, but this is what I found to be the best. When you're chanting japa and you find that your mind has gone off and you're not hearing, then stop and back up one or two beats just to check the mind. You've gone off. Now let's go. Let's get back on track again. Let's get back on track again. So what I found is that this is the best for getting the mind focused again on the holy name of Krishna. This is the process in this age for purification. So we have to take it very seriously. Does anybody know when the best time to chant japa is, which Prabhupada suggested?
Before sunrise.
Believe it or not, are you ready for this? Before Mangal Arati. I know that's hard for a lot of people because you got to take this early, right? He told that to Yamuna, and you know Yamuna, she's like our Queen Kunti of ISKCON. So immediately, as soon as she heard that, she would get up, you know, early and chant all her japa before Mangalarti. Such a saintly devotee. So believe it or not, that was Prabhupada's instruction. Of course, it may not be a time right now to do that, but it's something to think about in the future. Yeah, that maybe you'd be able to do that. Because then you chant all your japa before Mangalarti, go to Mangalarti, and then it's not that you just go to sleep after Mangalarti. Then you read Srimad Bhagavatam, read Bhagavad Gita, and then your day is just set. You know, like you're ready for a very Krishna conscious day. So, yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that this trust, once it is lost, it's very difficult to repair.
Yes.
I find that trust from Krishna's side is not lost. Krishna still trusts us.
Yes.
So it's only from our side it's difficult to hear.
Krishna trusts us still. He still loves us. Yeah, that's there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhyakavanoi. It's there in the hearts of not only us, but in the hearts of everyone. Love for Krishna. He always has love for us. And Prabhupada gives the example of a father. The son may deviate. He may go off and be rebellious. It's very common for sons to become rebellious. But the father always has affection for the son. And he's always waiting for the son to come back and mend that relationship, reinstate that relationship. So Krishna is the best father. He's just waiting. And Prabhupada says in one purport, he's never inattentive in our attempt to mend this relationship. As soon as he sees something, then he waters it. He wants. Therefore, Prabhupada said, for every one step we take towards Krishna, Krishna's taking 10 steps towards us. So some of us are quite some distance from Krishna, right? But we keep on taking those steps, then we're getting closer and closer. But don't turn back. Don't turn back to Maya again. Just keep going towards Krishna. And eventually, by his 10 steps coming towards us and our one step towards him, eventually we'll come back together again. And then we'll have that wonderful experience that Gopa Kumar had. We're back. The wonderful embrace. Experience the wonderful embrace of Krishna. And Prabhupada said you could either experience the wonderful embrace of Krishna or you can experience the kicks of Maya. So it's your choice. Yeah. Many of us have gotten the kicks of Maya. We've had the experience. So don't go back, don't look back again towards the kicks of Maya. Look forward to the embrace of Krishna. It's possible by the mercy, by the kindness of Krishna. Yes?
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that unfortunately they are cowards who declare a secular state. Still not able to understand. Secular state is actually it's good because that's how it was easy for us to emerge.
Well, secular state also means God is not part of the government. In other words, you can't. For instance, when I was growing up in America, we used to pray to God in school. But it became so secular that they removed that now. You can't pray to God in school. Here in Australia?
No?
Yeah. So it's secular practically everywhere. No God is a part of any government. Except for maybe Muslim. Maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe. Saudi Arabia. Yes.
How can we kind of have the balance between the sadhana and preaching? Because you mentioned it's nice to chant around Pramangrati, but then at the same time in the evenings, often there's a lot of preaching opportunity.
So how to balance our sadhana with preaching? Because a lot of times there's good opportunity for preaching. Sometimes you take rest late. So it's hard to get up early. So therefore I said, it may not be possible now, but something to look forward to in the future. Yeah, maybe not now. Now you have, Prabhupada said, you utilize your youth in spreading Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was even utilizing his old age in spreading Krishna consciousness. So that's something we can also do, but we can't. At one point, there'll be a time where we can take rest early and get up early and still do our preaching. And chant japa before Mamalati. You see, what it was, I was waking up already at 2:30 and chanting almost on my rounds before Mamalati. But when I heard that, I thought, well, if I just wake up a half hour earlier, then I could wake up in time to chant all my rounds before Mamalati. So I've been doing that for a few years now. That's good. It's fantastic, and I'm still preaching, so it's possible. What did Prabhupada say? Impossible is a word and name. Fool's dictionary, so it's possible.
Chapter, it's written like Lord Indra is doing so many like religious things, but again Brahma is telling Putumaras to do only 99 more sacrifices rather than telling Indra that he should.
Oh, Vishnu tells him.
Yeah. Vishnu.
Yeah.
Does that just stop because Indra was doing so many religious activities, so Vishnu told Indra about this, but on the contrary, he is telling Putumara to stop that
one. Yeah, it's interesting. You see, Prithu was a great, he was a Shaktivesh Shavakar. He was so he's a great Shaktivesh?
Yes, yes.
So he was a great Vaishnava. Indra is a great devotee also, but demigods in general, they're sakama devotees. So he had this attachment. And Lord Vishnu, he knew. Whereas Prithu, he wanted to do that 100, but he wasn't so attached.
Yeah, attachment.
He wasn't so attached as Indra. So Vishnu said, just keep it at 99. Yeah. Prithu said, all right, no worries. You know, as they say in Australia, no worries. No problem. So it was like that. The Krishna knows the heart. And it was too attached. Prithu wasn't as attached. So let him have it. Like a father with two sons, you know, one's real attached and one's not. Yeah, let him have it. Yeah. Actually, see, you have it.
I just wanted to paraphrase that question because when I was reading this part in my personal reading, that was the same question I had. How come everyone appears on the scene and classifies Putu Maharaj?
Yes.
But why isn't anyone having a go at Indra for telling him off?
Yes.
So, to summarize what you're saying, the one in the higher position has the understanding and has to compromise, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
And still, it's very intolerable with Indra.
Demigods, you know, that's Shakama devotees. But still devotees, and we respect them. But many of them are Shakama devotees. And you see in the Bhagavatam, you see Indra, he gets himself in trouble quite a few times.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look in the Vedas, he's glorified very much. Quite glorified. But in Bhagavatam, because it's so much in bhakti, yeah, they wanted to sort of worship in the demigods. It's not on such a high level. He's one of the, you know, he's the king of the demigods, Bhagavatam. So, but the bhakti is what is most important. And Prithu had the bhakti, and he was, and with the bhakti, one is detached. So that showed his greatness. He was detached. All right, yeah, no problem. Last one, yes.
The trust in rebuilding trust. Srila Prabhupada says that we are all the sons of a very rich, rich man. We may choose to leave and run down the street with a group of orphans, but we are not an orphan. Could you at least talk about the dilemmas of devotees who decide to run back down the street in Maya with a group of orphans?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, it's the mind is as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, the mind is a non-devotee. So, if we listen to a non-devotee, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. Right? So, sometimes the unfortunately, the mind gets the better of us. So, listening to the mind, and if we listen to the mind, sometimes we become offensive to devotees, to Krishna, and makes it very difficult for us the mind becomes too strong. It's like there's a story of the bad dog and the good dog. You know, the bad dog is the lust, the anger, the greed. But if we feed the bad dog, it becomes stronger. But then there's a good dog, the devotee dog. If we feed the devotee dog, it's going to be stronger, become stronger. So we have to feed our devotion to Krishna, not feed our mind, because we'll become distracted and cause tremendous difficulties for ourselves. So we have to check the mind, and the best way to check the mind is by hearing Shravanam Kirtanam. This nurtures our intelligence and keeps the mind down. If we don't hear regularly, the intelligence also becomes weak. So you have to hear regularly. And Prabhupada said, when you're reading, make sure you read, you understand each sentence before you go to the next sentence. You have to hear very scrutinizingly. And that'll keep the mind down. Otherwise, the mind will become strong again, and we'll find ourselves running down the street as orphans again, running away from our father. Okay, we have a young child here, young devotee here, that has a question. This will be the last one. What's your question?
As you said that number 108 is an auspicious number.
Auspicious number.
So in the mala, why are there 109 beads?
No, there's 108 beads. But there's a head bead. That's considered to be Krishna. There's 108. Those are the devotees, and the head bead, that's Krishna. Therefore, we don't go over, we back up, we go around. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.